us one more time. Hey, Deacon George. Deacon George, can you turn number 9 down just a little bit? Turn the game down just a little bit. Amen. How many are happy to be in the house of God one more time? Give all the name on. Hallelujah. God has been good. Amen. And we bless the Lord. Originally, I had planned on continuing our message from Sunday on I will bless the Lord at all times, but the Lord put a different thought on my heart today, so we're going to go with that. Can we stand for our scripture reading tonight, which will be coming from St. John's, the 17th chapter. Amen. We do thank the Lord for bringing us safely over the highways to Virginia and back on yesterday. Amen. God's a keeper. God's a way maker. Amen. You never take it for granted. We thank God for my wife and her life, health, and strength. But God blessed her with the ability to press over her circumstances. How many tonight are pressing? Give God a wave off. Come on, how many are pressing? Something somewhere, if it's not physical, is something going on somewhere. Amen. Many shall live godly in Christ Jesus. They're going to suffer persecution. And many are the afflictions of the righteous. We all going to have some problems. But how many know our God is faithful? And because God is faithful, he will see us through. Amen. Our scripture reading is going to be coming from St. John, the 17th chapter. Actually, I'm going to start down a little further so that we don't have to stand so long, and then we'll come back up. Amen. Let's start in verse 9. We'll read verses 9 through 17, and then we'll come back and go over a little, another portion of it. And this is Jesus as he's preparing for the crucifixion. Do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
For those that do not have it, it is on the screen. Verse 9 reads, I pray for them. I pray not
for the world.
I'm so glad God prayed for us. Peter, I pray that your faith fail not. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one
as we are.
God's desire is that we may be
one.
Unified. Be one as
we are.
We are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Hallelujah. Nothing like the name of Jesus. Scripture said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, whereas the righteous can run into it and be saved. So the Lord said, I kept them through thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them
thy word.
Lord, bless your name, and we thank you for the word.
Amen.
And the world has hated them, because they are not
of the world,
even as I am not
of the world.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not
of the world.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. May the Lord have blessed you to read of his word in the church today.
Lord,
blessed already. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. As I said, I was preparing to finish elaborating on blessing the Lord at all times. Amen. But in my preparation, and I came across some of these other scriptures, the Lord gave a greater impression on me. And the subject we're going to deal with tonight is, what does it mean to be sanctified? What does it mean to be sanctified? Amen. But let's go back over this through a portion. We'll go to 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. What does it mean to be sanctified? Now, many times when we think of being sanctified, we think of what we have to do, right? But to be sanctified means to be what? Set apart for God's use. Sanctify means you are set apart for God's use. It's not what you do, but it's what God does through you. We're dealing with being sanctified. So verse 4 reads, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Lord said, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory that I had before thee before the world. Why? He says in John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. He told the disciples, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he said, I'm going to have the same glory that I had in you before the world. Amen. We're not going to say that too long. But he goes on to say, I have manifested thy name unto the men. Well, what was the name that he manifested? The name of
Jesus.
He said, I manifested them thy name. And he manifested the name of who? Jesus. He told his disciples. He said, I've come in my Father's name. If he came in his Father's name, and if his name was Jesus, that means the Father's name must also be Jesus, because they are one. Amen. But he goes on to say, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Remember the scripture said, God said, I looked, and there was none to help. He said, I wondered, and there was none to uphold. He said, therefore, my own heart brought forth salvation. Amen. Salvation is of God. And there's a whole lot in there, but I don't want to get caught up in the theological portion. I want to deal with being sanctified. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, I pray for them. I pray not. I don't pray for the world. He said, I pray for who? For them. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine. The Lord uses different terminologies. It just means that we're just the same. In one portion, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 11, he said, those that the God Father has given me, he said, I have lost none. Amen. He said, I've kept them all because they are mine. Then he turned around and said, all that God has, I have lost none of them, for they are thine. It means the same thing. It just means they are one. Amen. You can read about that in the whole spare time in the latter portion of Matthew chapter 11. And he goes on to verse 11 and said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine. But everything we do is in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So he said, through thy name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. He said, that they may be one. Even as we are one. And that's so important. Amen. Verse 12 said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy. What? In thy name? Right? How can he keep them in his name when everything that Jesus did was in Jesus' name? Amen. He said, if you ask anything in
my name,
I'll do it. But then he said, but I kept them through my name. So if I kept them through thy name, and everything I did is in my name, then thy name must be the same as
my name.
So if you see me, you see the Father. And then the Lord says, he said, now, Lord, keep them through thy name. And he talks about having saved them through his name. Then he said, I'm gonna leave you now for a little while. Let's get off track. He said, I'm gonna leave you for a little while. He said, but I'm gonna send them another comforter. And the comforter that I'm gonna send them in my name. Right? So if Jesus came in the name of the Father, And Jesus' name is Jesus, and he's in his Father's name, then the Father's name is
Jesus.
Then he said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost in my
name.
So the Holy Ghost name is
Jesus.
No charge. That's what he said.
Amen.
Amen. Because he's doing it all, he's using the terms interchangeably. Amen. Because the Jews knew, behold Israel, the Lord our God is
one.
They knew there wasn't three. There's only one. Behold Israel, the Lord our God is one. And let's not stay there too long either. Amen. Let's go down to verse 13. He says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the
world,
that they might have my joy fulfilled in
themselves.
He said, I want their joy to be fulfilled right in themselves. All right? But the scripture, once again, think of this. Jesus said, all that you've given me, I have. He said, and there was none who was able to pluck them out of my hand. This is what he said. He said, Lord, all that you give me, I've kept. None was able to pluck them out of my hand. Then he interchanged it. He said, all that you have, you have. And none were able to pluck them out of thy hand. So you know what he said? He said, you and I are, we're still one. Verse 14 says, I have given them
thy word,
and the world has, why? Because of the word. Amen. Well, what was the word? In the beginning was the word. The word was, and the word was, you know, some things that you don't have to figure out. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word is with God. And the word was made flesh. Well, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and then the word was made flesh. Right? Then who is the word?
Jesus.
And Jesus is God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
All right, let's read. This is a, we're going to go off of this for 1 minute. This ain't in the plans. Let's go to John 1:1. John 1:1 has a whole lot in it. Amen. We're talking about being sanctified. And in order to understand being sanctified, we have to understand who sanctified us. God does the sanctifying. Amen. So let's go to John. I'm going to read through 1 John quickly, and then we're going to come back to this, and then we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is everybody still with me?
Amen.
Amen. If I go too fast, raise your hand. And I tell you to get the tape. No. I'll stay with you, okay? So John 1 reads, in the beginning was
the Word.
The what? Word. And the Word was
with God.
And the Word
was God.
Well, who was the Word?
Jesus.
In the beginning it was with God. And the Word was with God. And the Word
was God.
Was God. And he goes on to say, and the Word, and the same was in the beginning
with God.
All things were made by
him.
By who? The Word. Well, it says God created everything. So if God created it, and the Word created it, how many creations are there?
One.
Right? So God many times uses the Word of God interchangeably to mean the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
He goes on to say, in him was life. And the life was the
light of
man. Now let's get down to verse 12. Okay? Verse 12 said, but as many as received him, who's him?
Jesus.
As many as received him, to them gave he power to become
sons of God.
The sons of God. Even to them that believed on, you got to have the name. Amen. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the
Word.
Well, who was the Word? It tells you in chapter first one, the Word was who?
Jesus.
Right? The Word was Jesus, but the Word was God. And the Word was being
flesh.
But I mean, God took on flesh. Amen. Was made flesh. And beheld, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of
grace
and truth. So who is the Word?
Jesus.
Who is God? The Word. The Bible many times uses the you something in chapter 17 before we get down to the latter portion of it. Go up to the earlier portions of chapter 17. And it's important that we follow the scripture. Amen. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be what?
Ashamed.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. All right. Verse 3, and thou hast given them power over, given them power over all flesh, and he shall give
eternal life.
Well, I thought God gives eternal life. So you mean, there's a battle of who's giving eternal life? No, because they are?
One.
They are one. Amen. So he goes on to say in the next portion, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only
true God,
and
Jesus Christ.
But the word "and" does not always mean what we mean. The word "and" means also, and it also means even. Right? The word "and" does not always, we use the word "and" it means "and," but for them, when they write it here, it can be even also. So if you interpret it properly, it says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, even
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. He tells you who he is. He is the true God. Amen. Now, and I could go further, but don't get sidetracked. Amen. So now let's go down to verse 15 of the same chapter 17. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them. God said, don't take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil that's in the world. He said, now, they are not even as I'm out of the world. But then he says, sanctify them through thy. Sanctify means set them apart through thy. Well, what is the truth? Thy word is truth. Amen. Now, when we think about being sanctified, many times, sanctification, we think it's what we do. But to be sanctified through the word is what God does through us. Amen? So, in the Hebrew culture, now, it's so important that when you try to study God's word, that we don't study it from the Greek culture. Because the Greek culture is not clear. But when you go back to the Hebrew culture, you can understand it. Amen? In the Hebrew culture, grain had to be separated from the chaff by threshing before you could make flour and wheat. This event was a daily occurrence. So in order for threshing, they would beat the wheat, then they would throw it up in the air and use a fan, or the wind would blow all the waste away, and then it would fall down and they would beat it again. That was called a sifting or threshing. All right, so in order for them to have pure wheat, they had to go through the threshing process. So now the Lord is talking about being sanctified, and let's see how he compares being sanctified. Amen? He said, what comes after threshing is grain that you can use, but the husk, the waste, is all has been removed. All right, so when you're threshing, you get rid of the waste, and the only thing that's left is what's good to be used. Amen? How can we see that, this image, in a more simple way? The process of sanctification is the removal of what is not usable and the retention of what is. So when God sanctifies us, he's pressing, he's stressing, he's beating, he's working it out. What is he doing? He's removing the parts of us that are not usable. He's using the, well, so when we go through the sanctification, God sees and he's taking away stuff that's not good for in us. So that we can be a vessel unto God. Amen. And then he goes on to say, sanctification, remove what God cannot use. So many times we think sanctified means what we do. Sanctified is what God does through us. When we are sanctified, it's a process of God removing the waste part, the useless part, the parts that won't bring him glory. God has to get rid of that. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, then we'll come back to this a little more. Let's go to 2 Timothy. So what does it mean to be sanctified? It means that God is threshing. God is sifting. Remember, he told Peter, he said, Peter, he said, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he might what?
Sift you as wheat.
You know what? God permitted that because he realized that sifting process that Peter was going to go through was going to remove the portions from Peter that were not useful. And the only thing that would be left after the devil finished sifting him is what would be useful. That's why after that he said, I pray that thy... He said, listen, you're going to go through some serious trials. You're going to go through a sifting period. You're going to even deny me. He said, but in the end, I pray that your
faith
fell out. So God was allowing him to be sanctified. He was going through a threshing. He was going through a sifting so that the parts that were not usable and good that Peter would be got rid of so that what would be left is what God can use. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
How many want God to do that for us?
Yeah.
Lord, just keep what you can use. Get rid of everything else. If you want to be sanctified, you have to do it. Verse 19 reads, nevertheless, the foundation of God
standeth sure.
Whether we choose to accept it or not, God's word is set. His foundation standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So let everyone that nameth the name of Christ get rid of the stuff that's not useful in you. It's a process. It's a sifting. It's a cleansing period. Amen? But in a great house, they are not only vessels of good gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Well, in a great house. Right? We said, but if a man would
therefore purge himself.
In other words, he said, you know, you got to go through a process of sifting. You got to go through a process of threshing. Amen. You got to get rid of that stuff. You know, there's a whole lot in us that's not usable by God. There's a whole lot in us that will hold us back from being used by God. So God said, I'm going to allow you to be sanctified. And then being sanctified, he said, I'm going to sift you. I'm going to get rid of all of that stuff that's not good, right? He said, if a man were purge himself from things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And what's the first thing? Sanctified. Right, so the sifting, the threshing sanctifies us. It gets rid of the portions of us that are not useful for God. Just like the wheat, you have to get rid of the shaft because it's shaft. You can't use that for doing anything constructive because it is the waste. So God allows us to go through processes, and we fail to understand that God is not doing it to overthrow us, but he's trying to get rid of the waste. The portions in our lives that are not usable, God allows us to refresh to get rid of them. Amen? And that's why God has sanctified for the master use and what?
Prepare.
So God allows us to go to things to help prepare us for what? Good works. So now let's go back to being sanctified. Sanctified is not what you do. It's what God does through you. It's what God does for you. Amen? A lot of times we can be in a place that we think we're all right spiritually. But how many know God can see further down the line than we can? He told Simon, he said, Simon, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me thrice. But Simon couldn't see it. He didn't see that that was in him. So the Lord allowed him to be sifted by the devil so he could see himself. He allowed him to go through those hardships and troubles. He allowed him to deny the Lord. He allowed him to even leave out in shame and disgrace because there was some stuff in him that God needed to work out. Amen? So now we're talking about being sanctified. The sanctified is a process of stripping away. God is stripping away the unusable parts in our lives. When you're sanctified, God is stripping away stuff that's not going to make you a vessel unto honor. Our utmost desire is we want to be a vessel sanctified and meet for the
master's
use and prepared unto
every good.
So God says, I see you, I know you, I need to cleanse you. Right? In the scripture, that cleanse us through thy word.
Amen.
So God uses his word to cleanse us. You know, we can use psychology and all that, but that doesn't cleanse us internally.
All right.
Psychology and all that can cleanse our mind, but it cannot cleanse our spirit. Amen. Self-help includes, can cleanse your heart, but it cannot, it can cleanse you outwardly, but it cannot cleanse your heart. So God allows us to go through the sanctification process to cleanse us so that we will be a vessel unto honor. Amen. So it's a stripping away process. Sanctification is the way that God gets rid of all the stuff that keeps us from being optimally used to, for Him. That process is usually not very comfortable. Amen. When God is working on you, do you feel good when God is helping you see you yourself as He sees you? I know it doesn't feel good for me. It's not comfortable, but God is working something in us. So it's not comfortable. It says it's hard to have us. Now when you think of the stripping or threshing process, it's hard to separate the wheat from the chaff. Right? It's a process. Amen. That's why you beat it, you do all, and you throw it up in the air, and roll it, and you beat it again. It's a process. Well, that's what God does to us. Now thank God He don't beat us like that. Alright? But God allows us to go through the cleansing process so that we can be used for Him. Amen? It says, you might have thought of sanctification as your effort to make yourself into a better Christian, but you would have missed the point. It's not what you do, it's what
God does through you.
So God is sanctifying us to make us better. Our role in this process is simply just let Him do it.
Amen.
Stop fighting God. God is, you know, you ever reacted in a certain way, you're like, wow, I didn't even know that was in me. Right? But God permits it to happen again. He said, I did it again. You know why? You're going through the sifting process. God is trying to help you get rid of some stuff because God can't use you as long as that is in you. So the only way God can use you is He has to get it out. So it repeats the process over and over, just like sifting or threshing the wheat. It goes over and over because every time it goes, you get rid of a little more of the waste of the part that God can't use. Are you with me? Amen. Too often we resist the stripping or the threshing process because we think that sanctification can only be a good thing. It is a good thing, but it usually arises when we are tossed up in the air. No grain was ever threshed while it lays this undisturbed on the floor. So in order for you to be threshed, it's a process. It takes work. You just cannot live in a bed of ease and comfort. You know, it's like the old myth. Once you get saved, it's all peace and cream. Right? Once you get saved, it's all easy. No. Once you get saved, that's when God begins to work on you to cleanse you up. Amen. From the inside out. So then God starts all of this. Just look at it. Because we are the vessel of the temple of the what? Holy Ghost. Now God resides in us. At one time He watched us from the outside, but now God is seeing us from the
inside.
From the inside. Amen. And that's why the scripture says in Romans, when it talks about He searches our heart and knows what is our infirmities, God is on the inside. He said, well, if I allow you to keep going this direction, this is going to ruin you. So God said, I have to put a test or a trial in your way to bring this out of you because I'm not looking at you any longer from the outside, but now I'm on the inside. And that's why the scripture says the word of God is quick and powerful. It's a discerner of the and the end is tomorrow because it's in you. So because God is in you, God said, you know what? You're just thinking the wrong way. So I'm going to have to use my word to cleanse you. I'm going to use my word to discern what your motives are. Not for me, but for you to see yourself. That's the process of sanctification. That's the process of God cleansing us up. So when we look at ourselves and everybody else look at us, we look one way. But God said, not so. Because man is looking at me.
Outward
appearance, God said, I'm looking at your
heart.
And I'm a discerner of the thoughts and the
intents.
God says, know unto me all your works from the beginning. He said, I know everything there is about you. I'm acquainted with all of your ways. So God said, I'm allowing you to go through this. And we cry. And we say, set apart for God, do you want to experience sanctification? Then be ready to be tossed about, stripped, and crushed. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Right. The Garden of Gethsemane was really, has been known or called the All Press. Right. Jesus was our perfect example, right? Was Jesus our perfect example? Alright. Y'all, I'm not trying to lose you, right? He was our perfect example, but he had to go through the oil press. He had to go through, Gethsemane to be crushed. When he was in Gethsemane, the Bible said he prayed till his sweat turned to great drops of blood. Why? Because he was going through the oil press. Right? Gethsemane was where all the olive trees were, and in order for you to get the anointing oil, it had to be pressed. It had to be beat. It had to go through scourge. It had to just go through a lot to get it to the point of purification. Well, before the Lord could even be crucified, he had to be crushed, right? Because God had to give him the ability and the mind to overcome the flesh. So God allows a lot of times us to go through our Gethsemane experiences, and we cry and wail and behold, but God is crushing us so that we can be a vessel unto God. So we have to go through Gethsemane just like Jesus had to go through. He had to be crushed. Jesus went through so much in Gethsemane trying to overcome the flesh that the Bible said God had to send angels to minister unto him. Why? Because he was going through the crush. God allows us to be crushed so that he can get stuff out of us. Amen. You ever thought something one way and then you find out, wow, I was way off. That's the crush, right? That's the pressing. That's God helping you to see yourself. Amen?
Amen.
When all the sifting is finished, God will make a great vessel out of your life. But you have to go through the process. Now, we all know the story of who? Job. Now, the Bible asked God in chapter 1, he asked Satan, he said, Satan, where are you coming from? Satan said, I think it's all over the place. Now, God wanted to work something out of Job, right? So he asked him, he said, have you considered? Well, why would God do that? Satan wasn't thinking about Job, right? He had no mind, but God said, have you considered mine? All right, let's go to Job chapter 1. We're going to read just verse 8 through 11 of Job chapter 1. Now, we're dealing with being sanctified. We're going through the crushing, right? So that God can get glory out of our lives. We look at loss many times because we don't make the right calculations. Because everything God takes from us, he can give us that much more if we go through his process. So, to be sanctified is to willingly surrender.
Amen.
To be sanctified means you willingly surrender.
Amen.
Yes, there's a part of, I just don't, you know, there's stuff we don't like to do. You know, even in church, there's some stuff, I don't like doing that. God said, but I got to crush you. I got to thrash you. I got to beat you because I need to have all of you.
Amen.
God needs all of us in order for us to be a vessel unto God. Anything that we hold on to, I said, you won't understand it now. But by and by, when the morning comes, you'll understand it all better. Verse 8 of chapter 1 reads, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That is, God is banging on Job. But God saw something in Job that Job and no one else saw in himself. Amen. He said he's a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and hates evil. He said, evil is not even a temptation for Job. Then Satan said, answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? He said, hey, if I was Job, I would fear you too. I got everything in this world. Why would I fear you? Amen. Has not thou made and about his house, and all about all that he has on every side. He said, thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. He said, give me permission. He said, well, now put forth thine hand there and touch all that he has. He said, come here, curse you to your face. Now then, Satan asked about Job, and then God suggests Job. God suggested Job because he wanted to sift him. He wanted to take him through the threshing period. He wanted to make sure that in the end that he would come forth as pure gold. So God allowed Job to go through that, and the devil wasn't even thinking about it, because God knew there was something that needed to come out of Job. Amen. The scripture says he wants to hide pride far from man. And when Elihu went in, he's like a Christ. He went in God's stead like Christ. He said, you are self-righteous. What did it take for Job to find out that he was self-righteous? He had to go through the threshing. He had to go through the crushing. He had to lose a lot to see himself as he really was. Amen. Chapter 2 of Job. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 3 reads, and the Lord said unto Satan, and this is after he had stripped Job of everything. All of his wealth was gone. He lost all his children. Amen. Job had nothing. But Job still had a body to write before God. Right, because if you read the latter portion of Job 1, 20 and 21, it said that Job, after all this, Job fell down and worshiped. The naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord has given. Amen. The Lord has taken away. He said, but most of all, blessed be the name of God. So after all of that, you would think that's enough, right? Job has lost everything. But God knew that there was still something that needed to come out of Job. Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. So God looks beyond all we see. And verse 3 of chapter 2 says, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is, that's a special distinction. There's nobody like Job in
all the
earth. He's special. He's different. Amen. But God still saw something in Job that Job or any of his friends saw in himself. Amen. A perfectly upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, and still he holding fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him. He said, he didn't do anything. He said, but you want to destroy him. He said, but you still holding on. Praise him. Sing that song, hold on, be strong. Because you're in him. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man has, will he give for his life. He said, but put forth man, put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee. The devil has for one desire. When you go through your difficult trials, when you go through your crushing, when you go through your threshing, when God takes you out of your comfort zone and everything around you seems like it's coming apart, God has for one desire, and that is to make you a vessel unto honor. But the devil has for one desire, he wants to use that same trial to make you curse God. So God is using it to embellish you spiritually and to bring something out of you, and the devil says, I refuse to let God win. I'm going to take this trial, and I'm going to use it to you, curse God to his face. Have any of us got to the point that we're beginning to question God? We're beginning to wonder, I got saved and I ain't seen no change. What's all this salvation about? Don't believe the lie. Trust God. He's allowing you to go through the process because he's trying to get something out of your life. And the Lord said unto him, verse 6, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. You know why? Because God knew he was going to work something out of Job. Amen. Elihu asked Job a question. He said, why are you fighting against God? Anybody ever feel like you got to the point that it's Now, instead of you surrendering to God and allowing God to thresh you and work on you, you're fighting God. Amen. Some of us, you know, there's some of us that we just want to hold on to.
Jesus.
All right, some of me.
Amen.
There's some of us we just want to hold on to, and God is trying to sanctify us. So God is allowing us to go through the process. Remember he said later, after Peter had denied him and went out and wept bitterly, when he sent for his disciples, he said, bring my disciples. He said, and Peter, because he had gone through the process. He had been threshed. And then after he went through all that, you think, Peter, let the Lord down more than anyone. You think, who are you, someone that's a coward, someone that don't want me to stand? But on the day of Pentecost, he was a spokesman for the church. Why? Because Peter went through the
process.
But his faith did not fail. I want to tell you, where is our faith?
Amen.
Are we still holding on to God? Amen. Now Job, let's go to Job, the 13th chapter. Job went through a lot. In the end, Job's a man. When I think about all that God is doing, because Job wouldn't allow him. Remember his wife tried to get him. She said, the wife was like, man, I'm tired of life going down here. You know how we do carnal reasoning. She's like, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? She said, if you curse God and die, my whole life will change. I'll be in a better position. She said, look at you. You got balls from the crown of your head to your soul and your feet. She said, you look terrible. We lost everything. She said, you ever look at somebody and say, I don't have no use for you. Right? This is what she was saying. She said, I don't have no use for you. Because of you, we went from being poor, rich to being poor. She said, it's your fault. We lost all of our children. And look at you. You're disgusting. Look at those boards. You just sit down in ashes and scraping yourself. He said, you sound foolish. Shall not we receive good the hand of God and not evil? The Bible says in all his book, Job held on to his integrity. God allows us to go through the process and see what's in us. He allows us to be sifted. He allows us to be beaten. He allows us to be threshed to see what is in us. As you go through your process, what is now in you? Right? Because if you hold fast your integrity, there's not a sinner, there's not anyone that can make you turn your back on God. There's not anyone that will get you to disobey God because you love God. So you have to hold fast your integrity. So Job says in the 13th chapter, 15th verse, he said, though he
slay me.
He said, yeah, sir. Right now I might be going through the process. Right now I'm being crushed. Right now I'm being beaten. I don't feel good. I don't like it. He said, but though he slay me.
Yes.
Yet will I, this word trust me, even though God is doing this, my hope is still in God. Even though I'm going through the worst trial I ever went through in my whole life, I didn't think it could be this bad. Hallelujah. He said, but I still trust him. Ah, yes, Lord. I wonder, what do you do when you're going through your valley low? Even if you're out there facing the valley of the shadow of death, what do you do? Do you still trust him? My hope is built on nothing. Less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on
Jesus.
Anybody leaning on Jesus? Anybody trusting in God? Anybody allowing God to sanctify them? I don't feel good. I don't like it. Lord, but I thank you. Oh, Lord, I don't like what I'm going through tonight, but I thank you. Now, we're going through the process, right? A sacrifice is normally, in order for God to accept it, has to be what?
Killed, right?
In order for a sacrifice, for God to accept the sacrifice, they had to kill it and they had to sprinkle the blood. But God says now, I want you to be a living
sacrifice.
A living sacrifice. Amen? So verse 1 of Romans 12 reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the that you present their bodies a living
sacrifice.
A living
sacrifice.
You have to be holy. That's the first commandment, is you have to be
holy.
Holy,
acceptable
unto God, which is your
reasonable.
Now, when we think of reasoning, you know, and, we think of like the logic, trying to figure out, like, right? Trying to get the mind apart, right? What this reasoning means is a Greek word, meaning is logikos, which means that you have to be a, have to have spiritual thanksgiving. This is what, even in the midst of you being a sacrifice, you still have to thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Not just regular thanksgiving, but you have to have some spiritual thanksgiving.
Yes.
Right? You want to be useful to God, so you want to be a living
sacrifice.
Amen. And he says, and reasonable what service? This word service, we think about what we do. But this is not what we do. It means what kind of worship. So when you put those two words together, about reasonable service, it means spiritually thanksgiving and worship.
Amen.
Spiritual thanksgiving, how do you do it? Through worship. When Job went through his trial, he had spiritual thanksgiving and he
worship.
Right? The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at
all times.
His praise shall continue.
Me
and no magnify the Lord with me and let us
exalt.
You have to have some spiritual thanksgiving and you have to have worship.
Amen.
That's what that means. Reasonable service means, what's your thanksgiving like? Right? Do you thank God and do you worship Him? And in closing, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. So that logikos, L-O-G-I-K-O-S, means that you have to have spiritual thanksgiving. You know what spiritual thanksgiving is? You don't look at the circumstances.
Amen.
But I thank God.
Amen.
In all things we have to give
thanks.
In all things we have to give
thanks.
Not murmur, not complain, in all things give thanks. Because this is the will of God in
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. Why? Because it is God that working in you. God is sanctifying you. God is trying stuff in you and out. It's God that working in you both the will and the do of His own.
Good.
Verse 8 reads, Jesus Christ the same when?
Yes.
So God, that means He has what? He has changed.
Amen.
Right? And He's writing to who? The Hebrews. And when Paul writes to the Hebrews, Hebrews do not receive things like the Gentiles. Because they know from a Hebrew teaching what the word of God means. Amen? He said, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established
with grace.
With grace. Not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. He said, we have an altar. Well, they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And this, if you go back to Exodus, this, I think it's Exodus 29 chapter, or 33rd chapter. This is pointing to Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. Because what they would do is they would take the bull or the lamb and they would cut it up and then they would offer a portion on the altar. But then the sin offering for the whole congregation, they couldn't do it then. They had to take it outside the camp. And that's why the rest of it was burned was outside the camp, because that was a sin offering for all. Right? So the sin offering for all had to be where? Outside. Right? The sin for the individual was
inside.
But this is a pattern. If you read about it, I believe in Hebrews chapter 9 through 11, 8, 9, and 10, it tells you of how the tabernacle was a prototype in heaven of the Lord himself coming. Amen. But let's keep going here. So it says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood brought into the sanctuary by the high priest was saying, a burn. Wherefore Jesus, also that he might sanctify the people, he's doing what? Sanctifying the people with his own
blood.
God is still set us apart. How do you get set aside? Through his blood. Okay? Therefore to him without. Oh, I'm sorry. Let us. I'm going to skip that. Wherefore Jesus also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffer. Where do you suffer at? Just like they did in Exodus, they still have to be outside. Why? Because this is a sin offering
for all.
Amen. He said, let us go forth therefore to him
without
him. The Hebrews understood that for us. What's the big deal? Him and him, yes, again. Right? But they understood the meaning of the sin sacrifice. Right? Because the sin on the altar happened daily. But the sin outside the camp only happened once. And that was a sin offering for the entire community. So now it's just, Jesus is where? He's on the
outside of the gate.
So now we got to go to him where?
Outside.
On the outside. Because that's a sin offering
for all.
Amen? For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one. By him, therefore let us offer thee sacrifice of praise. How?
Continually.
The sacrifice of praise continually is the fruit of our. You know what sacrifice of praise means? Yeah, well, I don't have nothing to really praise the Lord for. If you knew what I was going through, how can I praise the Lord? That's when you have to give it as a sacrifice. That's when you don't feel like it. It doesn't feel good. God has allowed me to go through all this work. What am I going to praise the Lord for? Because now you have to give it as a
sacrifice.
And how often do you have to give it?
Because
I'm going to bless the Lord and his praise now continually be
in my mouth.
So even though I don't feel like it, I still have to offer the sacrifice of praise. That's how God gets glory through our situation. That's good enough. Let us all stay. Amen. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. Can you thank the Lord where you are right now? Will you allow God to sift you? Will you allow God to thresh you? Because God is trying to work some stuff out of you. But you won't let go. You're holding on to your way. The Bible says that he that has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. So God is trying to work stuff in us to cleanse us so that we can be strong. But too often we hold on to our ways and we're determined to be what we want to be. Can we just surrender all? How many of you have a mind to surrender all to Jesus? Lord, I just want to surrender. You know what? At this stage of my spirit life, it's no longer about me, but it's all about Jesus. Lord, sanctify me through thy word. Don't sanctify me through psychology, through all this other stuff. Sanctify me through thy word. Why? Because your word is truth. No one can do anything against the truth. No one can change it. You got to hold on.